Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Paranjana becomes a woman in his next life. Text 8.
Atmanam Kanyaya Grastam Panchalam Adi Dushitam Duranta Chintam Apano Na Lebe Tat Pratikriyam Atmanam Kanyaya Grastam Panchalan Adidushitan Duranta Chintam Apano Nale de tat pratikriyam. Atmanam kanyaya grastam. Panchalan aridushitam. Duranta chintam apano. Nale de tat pratikriyam. Atmanam kanyaya grastam Panchalan adi dushitam Duranta chintam apano Nalebe tat pratikriyam. Atmanam kanyaya grastam
Vaishnavis,
Atmanam Kanyaya Grastam Kalam Adidushitam Granta Chintam Apano Aya Kapitam Kalam Adiyam Grastam Salam Adidushitam Dushitam Aparo Adivikam Adam Yagastam Adidushitam.
Atmanam, himself. Kanyaya, by Kalakanya. Grastam, being embraced. Panchalan, Panchala. Aridushitan, infected by his enemies. Duranta, insurmountable. Chinta, anxiety. Apanaha, having obtained. Na, not. Lebe, achieved. Ta, of that. Pratikriya, counteraction. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat the translation. When King Paranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kalakanya. Purport. When a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants, and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus, he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition. Om Gyanatim Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're getting a description of material old age. It seems that even in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, there are elderly personalities. You know, the personalities who are, you know, described as Krishna's parents, grandparents, things of that sort. And there are some Vaishnava literatures, Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures, that give, you know, descriptions of these personalities, like Purnamasi, for example, is described as having whitish hair. And, you know, but these personalities, they seem to be in a different state than King Paranjana. They are still eternally blissful. They're engaged in loving relationships with Krishna that depend on them being, you know, superior or elderly. You know, there's a section in the Nectar of Devotion, you know, that describes, you know, some of these personalities and their different relationships. So that there appears to be even a kind of transcendental elderliness that exists on, you know, the spiritual level, but it's not a condition of suffering, you know, as, you know, we see here. You know, sometimes even in material society, in our present day society, we see, you know, attempts to depict old age in that way. You know, sometimes, you know, like if you see on television, sometimes you see advertisements for different kinds of cosmetics. I mean, there's one called Oil of Olay, which is for women who are becoming older, but it usually depicts these 50 and 60 year old women just being marvelously beautiful and, you know, attractive in every way, just radiant. You can tell it's done with a lot of touch up and lighting and makeup and things like that. But still there is an idea that that there can be a state of elderliness that is in some way enjoyable. But that is there in the spiritual realm. But here in the material realm, it's always, when you analyze it perfectly, a kind of suffering. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. An intelligent person will see that actually at every stage in life there's suffering involved. The teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, there's examples of that, how at every stage of life there's suffering. Even when one is young, there's different kinds of suffering. There's the suffering of the infant within the womb, and then when the infant is born, it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the infant undergoes different kinds of suffering and cries. It's unhappy at not being able to communicate the reason for its suffering to those around it. And then when you get a little bit older, it's nice to be a child, 5 or 6 years old, but if anybody remembers their own childhood, you'll see there's also a lot of anxiety there. Sometimes there's some bigger child that wants to beat up on you or tease you or steal your lunch money or something. And then as one becomes a teenager, it's kind of the height of material life, but at the same time, if anybody remembers their teenage life, there's also a lot of anxiety, social anxiety involved in that too. So actually at every stage in material life, there's some kind of suffering coming from the three various kinds of miseries, the adi atmic, the adi bhautic, and the adi daivic miseries. The adi atmic miseries are the miseries that come from one's own mind and body. The adi bhautic miseries are those that come from other living entities, including animals, but also other human beings. There was a French existentialist philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre, and he once said, "Hell is other people." And we see that people cause a lot of trouble to each other, in their individual relationships, and collectively, in terms of conflict between classes, nations, religions. And then there's the adi daivic miseries, miseries that come from the different forces of nature. So at every stage of life, one feels these things, but in old age, it seems they increase more and more. So this aging process, it's something that affects one, not just on the level of one's individual body. It also affects one socially. And that's being described here, like the social effects of old age, because we don't exist alone in this world. We exist in a circle of friends, family, society. And as we go through the different stages of life, it doesn't affect us just individually. It affects our our relationships. And here we are seeing King Puranjana, as he's in the grasp of Kalakanya, the time factor, in the embrace of Kalakanya, he's experiencing that his family members, relatives, followers, servants and secretaries, and everyone else are turning against him, neglecting him, and things like that. So that's the fate of one who is absorbed in material consciousness. Of course, sometimes, if the person who's becoming older is wealthy or powerful in some sense, then kind of expecting some kind of reward, some inheritance or whatever, the friends, the secretaries, the followers, they may artificially remain friendly towards or submissive to the elderly person. But internally, they're calculating, what will happen when the person finally goes away. Which this isn't true in every single case. There are some people in the world who do have some piety, and they do feel some responsibility to the elder members of the family and the older members of society, and they may work to try to give them some comfort. But even then, they don't understand what the real remedy is, to give self-realization, God realization, Krishna consciousness, because that's the ultimate solution to all of these problems, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anadarshanam. And as we've been mentioning in the course of this whole discussion, that for devotees, they experience this passage of time and the changes of the body in a different way than a materialist experiences them. Dehinosmin yata dehe karmaram yovanam jara tata dehantara prapti diras tatra namuyate. So the devotee understands that the self is actually different than the material body. Each soul has a swarupa, a spiritual body with spiritual senses. It's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It's the real identity of the soul. The soul is actually completely different than the material body. Our connection with the material body is actually mediated by the supersoul, because really we are completely different from matter. Asango hiyam purusham means the purusha, the actual self, is completely detached from matter. But because Krishna is the controller of both the material and spiritual energies, he's the controller of his marginal potency, he can arrange that even though the marginal potency is different from matter, that it can become covered by matter or illusioned by matter. So that's an arrangement that Krishna makes. But those who are on the path of Krishna consciousness, who follow Krishna's instructions and take advantage of the knowledge that Krishna gives us in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, come to understand that the self is different than the body, just like a person is different than the car. Now, the car may be getting old, but the person is different than the car. And therefore, the person, the actual self, the soul, should not be bewildered by all the different changes that the external body goes through, from childhood to youth to old age, and then the final change to another body. We're getting to that here. You know, it says Paranjana becomes a woman in his next life. But in this part of the chapter, you know, we're kind of dwelling on this question of old age, and it's, and it can become a little tiresome. You know, it's I mean, it's not the real essence of, you know, Krishna consciousness, simply to be dwelling on the material miseries. We also want to experience, you know, the positive spiritual activities and the positive spiritual pleasure that comes from them. But we're instructed that understanding the material miseries is actually part of coming to the point of focusing completely on the spiritual side of life. Because if we don't properly understand the miseries, then we can become attracted by the false material pleasures that, you know, the body offers. And we can become absorbed in them, which means we remain entangled in, you know, the cycle of, you know, birth and death. So understanding this negative side of material existence is part of knowledge. You know, it's stated in the Isipanishad that one has to study both, you know, knowledge and nescience, you know, at the same time. It's really necessary for making spiritual advancement to appreciate these things. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to become overly absorbed in these things. I mean, it's and even as devotees, we can, even though bodies are aging, we can still feel some youthful energy, even while that's going on. And we notice that. You know, we see, of course, Srila Prabhupada was a perfect example that, you know, he was displaying incredible youthful energy at a time when most materialists would be just lying in their beds and trying to take it easy. And we even see many examples in our society of devotees that, yeah, there are devotees who are getting on in years, and sometimes they sit in the Vyasasan, they tell, you know, the negative side of it, oh, yes, you know, now I'm getting older, you know, weaker. But also, you know, we can see from their examples that they're displaying a lot of youthful energy and intelligence, you know, as they continue to preach and spread Krishna consciousness, you know, even though, you know, they're getting into their 50s and 60s. And, I mean, we definitely don't want, you know, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness just to become, you know, a club of elderly people. It's almost like we're transcendental vampires, that we always need new blood. You know, we need new recruits to kind of carry on. And, you know, if, you know, the more elderly members are just always talking about old age and how their bodies are this and that and the other, then of course it's not going to be very attractive to, you know, to people. Although they should understand that, that the same thing's going to happen to them. But we can also give a clue on how it's possible to remain full of youthful energy, even, you know, when the body is going, you know, through, you know, these different kinds of changes. So, does anybody have any questions or comments? Swavas.
I don't know if it's a question, but I tend to agree with your last statements. I'd rather be my age any day than 30 years old.
Why is that?
It was hell. You know, 25 to 30 was complete hell. Mental hell. And even going into 40, it was still strenuous. But I feel that I'm much safer and better at my age right now than I've ever been in my whole life. So I tend to agree with you. And I would prefer to be where I'm at than any day. Then I would never even trade with anyone 30. Why was it held? Because I think it's very difficult to control the mind in those youthful years. And there's a lot of material desires that manifest. And it's a constant struggle dealing with all those particular desires. And I'm finding that these later part of my life, those desires and struggles have waned considerably just due to the nature of the body and, you know, Krishna consciousness, hopefully. But I think in those particular years, you think that you're invincible, that you're full of energy and strength, and that you're beautiful, and that you can accomplish anything you want, that there's a whole, you have as much time as you need and want, and don't have to take anything serious. So, no, I wouldn't trade.
Yeah. Well, this, okay, Sarah.
I'm sorry, I disagree with Savas totally. Just like Marja Yati, if Bhakti Joe would like to give me his youth, I'm ready to take it, okay?
I have more energy in my life at this time than I did when I was 30 because I feel like more focused. My energy is more centered on what to do. Whereas when you're a little bit younger, your energy is scattered everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people can have different experiences as they go through, you know, these changes. Because many times when one is young, one sees all kinds of possibilities in life, you know, ahead of them. But then as, say, for a materialistically inclined person, as life goes on, those different options, you know, start closing off. I mean, you realize, I mean, you're thinking maybe when you're 18 or 20, well, I can go to school, I can, you know, get a degree in this or that or the other, I can start this profession or that profession. But then as you kind of go on, you go through your 20s, your 30s, you start realizing that those options are kind of closing off, you know, those paths to success. You know, there's not so many doors, you know, open for you, and you become, say, in a material sense, you start to feel like trapped as you grow older, and you know, as your dreams don't become realized, it becomes very frustrating, you know, for people. Now, for a devotee, because we have different goals, if we have the goal of becoming Krishna conscious, becoming renounced, becoming detached, becoming full of knowledge, assisting in, you know, the mission of the spiritual master, then as we grow older, those opportunities increase more and more and more. You know, it's not that, you know, it's the case, you know, for a materialistic person growing older that the opportunities become less and less and less, and you become more and more frustrated. So one reason for the satisfaction of, say, somebody like Savas might be that, well, he's experiencing more and more opportunities for advancement in Krishna consciousness. But yeah. Anything else? Any other reflections on youth, old age? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.